Our Bible reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 to 31. In the Red Pew Bibles, that's page 790, or just follow the screen behind me. Jesus raises a dead girl and heals a sick woman. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died. But come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region. Jesus heals the blind and the mute. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region.
I want you to be encouraged. You're going to have the abridged version of the sermon this morning. Point one. So I just warn you so you can relax, sit back, morning tea's coming. Friends, our world needs to rediscover, I think, the compassion and transforming power of Jesus Christ. It is my prayer that during this Christmas season, people will see how wonderful and glorious the Lord Jesus is. I remember a woman who did our Discovering Discipleship course, or Christianity Explained course. She had no knowledge of the Bible, and she said to me the first time, she said, "I know absolutely nothing." She listened to the first presentation on Jesus being the Son of God. She so enjoyed the night, she went home, and I encouraged people to read the Gospel of Mark over a few weeks. So moved by what she had heard, she came back having read the whole Gospel of Mark. Normally they do a chapter or two as they go, keen to learn more about him. She came face to face with Jesus, and she was transformed by him. There's another woman who had been a Christian for 12 months said to me, "Meeting Jesus had transformed her life and her marriage. She was hungry to know Jesus and to serve him." When people come to grips and face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, the authentic Jesus, then they are transformed by him, because he is powerful, he is compassionate, and he is a life transformer. We see that in Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 to 31, where he has power over illness, over death, and later he drives out some more demons. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago. But I want to take you to his power over illness, two stories. The first one is about a woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If only I touch his cloak, I will be healed." Hear the desperation in this woman. And you need to put yourself in the position of this woman. If only I could just touch him. If I can just get close enough to Jesus, he is special, something will happen. Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. This is an outcast woman, been suffering a disastrous hemorrhage for 12 years. It was as if her monthly menstrual periods were permanent. Would have involved great suffering for her, physically, relationally, personally, and socially. Physically, because of the bleeding. Relationally, because she could not engage in any normal sexual relationship. The possibility that her husband would have divorced her in that case. Personally, because she could bear no children. Socially, because the menstrual period made her ritually unclean. So here is Jesus dealing with a woman who is a social and religious outcast. Matthew only tells us the story very briefly. Mark expands on it. Let me go to Mark. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, had to spend all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Many of us know that story. Doctor after doctor, money after money, and still nothing. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I can just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," the disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Doctor after doctor and nothing. Shame after shame and nothing. Money after money and yet nothing. Desperate, Jesus passes by. Maybe, if he is the Messiah, if he is the healer, if he is the restorer, maybe he could do something about this. And you notice her approach to Jesus, I think a mixture of fear, she came up behind him, as well as desperate hope and superstition. Hope and superstition. If I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And I think we need to realize at this early stage that her faith is mixed with superstition. She thinks touching a piece of clothing can heal her. Maybe she's like those in Acts chapter 5, verse 15, who think that they will receive some special blessing or miraculous help if only Peter's shadow could pass over them. If you hadn't read that, Acts 5:15. If we only get in Peter's shadow, maybe we'll be healed. So there's an element of superstition here. Yet mixed with superstition, her faith is honoured and she is healed. And I think it's important to realise at this stage her faith is uninformed, it's presumptuous, superstitious, but it's real. And Christ honoured her imperfect faith. Her faith was directed towards Jesus and he healed her. And I'm so thankful that God still does the same today, because beginning faith is often uninformed and mixed with many errors. You don't always understand the person of Christ correctly, or the incarnation, or the Trinity, or the atonement, or grace versus works, or the scriptures. But you hear the gospel that God loves you and that Jesus is a great Savior who dies on a cross for you. And the Holy Spirit convicts you of that truth and you put your faith in Jesus. You don't necessarily know all the bits and pieces about him, but you put your faith in Christ and he forgives you. And then he starts to teach you and grow you in that faith. That is why I think a child comes to Christ. When a five-year-old receives Christ, they don't have their theology all that clear. What do you reckon? You're thinking, oh, I'm 55 and I don't have my theology that clear. There's true gospel doctrine you need to understand, yes. But a faith in Christ. So are people who don't have it all figured out, yet have a faith in Christ as the Son of God and the Saviour of the world. The Holy Spirit draws people. Friends, I wonder why when the Jesus film is shown right across the globe, they go into villages and they hear the story of Jesus, what he said and what he did and his death and his resurrection, and they hear enough of the gospel to know that Jesus is the Son of God. At the end of it, there's a prayer in the Jesus film. And as they ask people to pray along to receive Christ as Lord and Saviour, to start a life. And I think they may not know all of the doctrine yet, but there is faith, saving faith, believing faith at that point. But whatever the case, as she has had faith, She touches the clothing and immediately she feels in her body that she'd been freed from her suffering. The blood has dried up. The cramping and the agony has ceased. After 12 long, painful, humiliating years, relief and joy has come beyond measure. And having touched Jesus, and Jesus has healed her, all of a sudden she feels different. And I guess she's looking around thinking, I'm healed. I hope nobody's noticed that I touched the Messiah. She withdraws. And I think Jesus now shows his kindness to this woman. You want to know what type of Jesus we follow? It's a kind and a gentle Jesus, compassionate Jesus. He won't allow her to walk away healed simply by touching his clothing. He wants her to know something else. That is not a superstitious faith, but it's a genuine faith in Christ. He doesn't want her to think that his clothing has some magical power. You know, years ago I had a friend called Manuel who had schizophrenia. He was pretty much in hospital for most of that time. At times he was violent and aggressive to people, to his parents. He's the type of fellow who would climb up on the roof of his house at times, being so out of control. One time he attacked a man at our church camp, put him into hospital because he had lost it at that point. Aggressive. And his mother, I would visit her because there's a Greek family, and she's saying, Aunt, I don't know what I'm going to do, but she said, I'm going to take him to Israel. I said, why are you doing that? Well, I'm going to walk the path that Jesus walked. Then I'm going to baptize him in the Jordan River, praying that if I do those things, then he will be healed. Superstitiously walking across those roads, baptizing him in the Jordan, he came home the same. It's not doing those things, not touching a cloak that makes a difference. It's whose cloak it is. Who touched my clothes, he says. Well, you see the people crowding around you. Jesus, are you okay? What do you mean who touched your clothes? There are crowds everywhere. No. Who touched me? Now crowds are looking around. And this woman who shouldn't be there touching Jesus. She's unclean, was unclean. She comes forward, probably her head down, falls at his feet, trembling with fear. The Messiah has called her. He wants to know who touched him. This woman falls in fear at the feet of Jesus and tells him the truth. Now the center of attention, this social and religious outcast is the center of attention. Jesus says to her, daughter, not why did you touch me? Go away from me. No, daughter. Your faith has healed you. It's not my clothing. You're a daughter of God. And William Lane, a commentator, writes, it was the grasp of her faith rather than her hand that had secured the healing she sought. Her touch had brought together two elements, faith and Jesus, and that had made it effective. Friends, it is my prayer that this Christmas season we would put people in touch with Jesus, who is kind, who is compassionate, and when he calls us out so we can come to him and find life and forgiveness. He doesn't call us out to attack us. He doesn't call us out to judge us. He calls us out to come to repentance and faith. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank you for just the loving, gentle spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ in caring for this woman who was suffering greatly for 12 years. Thank you for the transformation you brought to her life. And Lord, it is our prayer that this Christmas season you would see many lives transformed as they put their faith in Jesus. That we not pursue superstition, but authentic faith in the true and living God, who was born, who lived, who died and rose again for us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.